We're right here with one of the smoothest voices at the West Coast, Butch Cassidy. You've been pretty quiet lately. Let's start it off by you letting everybody know what's up with you right now.
Well, right now I'm in the process of doing a duo record with the Mizza, and we're putting that together. We're about to drop the first single that's called Cruising this month, and it's something real hot and soulful for y'all. Y'all be hearing that real soon. And the album will drop around February of 07. So be looking forward to hearing that. And then after that, I have my solo record coming behind that, like, towards the summer, like, around June should be the first single or something. It's going to be real hot. We got a lot of stuff going on right now.
Okay, and how did the duo record with the Mizza come together?
Well, me and the Mizza have been working together for a long time, ever since I first met him on a Corrupt record. He had produced a track for Corrupt, and they called me in to do a hook, and, you know, ever since then, that was like in 99, ever since then, we've been pretty much still working together, just putting some stuff together for our own things and our own careers. We're trying to start off our own companies and get a lot of stuff going, so we just been putting music together ever since then, and the shit is hot, and we're going to bring some more to y'all.
Okay, and so you're officially a Baby Ree artist?
Officially, yeah, Baby Ree / starting my own thing called KCP, so it's like a joint venture.
Okay.
So we're putting it together, and it gives me my chance to get my own company and everything off the ground.
Okay, tell us a little bit about the Back Before Your Lonely record. Are Butch Cassidy and the Mizza going to be on every song?
Are we going to be on every song?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Except for maybe like three or four. I mean, like, I got two solo songs by myself, and he has two. But the rest, like the other eight songs, is me and him. The Back Before Your Lonely record is a record that we love. We like the title. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
We like the title of the track. And I know a lot of people have been waiting to hear what I was coming with, because I've done so many records in the past, and every time I meet my people in the streets, they ask me, when you coming with it, so I thought I'd give them a taste of what I'm coming with. That's why I thought this one is called Back Before You Lonely.
Yeah.
And then we're going to touch them with my record, but the Back Before You Lonely song is real crazy. I think people are going to be excited about it.
Okay, so what are you talking about on the record? It sounds like it's aimed at the ladies, is that right?
Pretty much aimed towards like the streets, and it's just letting people know that we're coming. It's been a long time, and we know they've been hungry for us, so we're coming back before they got too lonely.
Oh, okay, so the Back Before You Lonely is just for the streets, it's not for the ladies?
For the ladies on the record, I got a record called Talk To Me, and it's telling the women, just talk to me and tell me what they want. And then I got something on there called Once Lovers, talking about all the ladies that were once lovers of mine.
Okay. And who can we expect on the album as far as guest appearances and production go?
As far as the duo record?
Yeah.
The duo record is pretty much just basically just me and Damien. I mean, we got some help come in from Warren G and a couple of... We got a lot of new cats, because they're bringing that new flavor that no one has heard.
Yeah, because we just premiered a song on the site that the Mizza sent us. It got the Mizza, Bishop Lamont, Rocket, and this girl singing the hook. It's called View From The Top.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know which one he sent you. Yeah, that's pretty good, but I'm not on that one.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was asking about y'all being on the songs, because I heard that, and you weren't featured on that one song.
Yeah, it is from the Back Before.
Oh, okay, because you thought we were talking about giving us a taste from the solo?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, on the solo songs that I did, I'm going to, like, put them towards the R&B stations, you know, with these.
Oh, yeah. That's why, you know, after this duo record, people are waiting for the solo.
And that's what they're going to get, and they will not be disappointed.
And one more thing about the duo record. What's the label situation for that? Like, what under what umbrella is that dropping?
That's under Fontana Universal.
Oh, okay. Okay, so it's gonna have good distribution and everything.
You better believe it. It's gonna be in every store near everybody.
Okay, and let's go back in time a little bit. You used to be signed to Universal Records. What happened there?
Universal, you know, they didn't know how to work my project. When I started doing my own music, Universal thought that my record was just gonna be totally to the streets. They didn't understand how much I love these women. And since all the features that I've did in the past on the Gangster Tip, you know, they thought that I was gonna be a singer just coming with just a gangster flow all day. And which that is not needed, because there's already like just a street singer out there for like my cousin Nate Dogg. And when I got my own opportunity to do it, I was coming for the women, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what I've always, you know, been pushing my music towards, is the females. So, after we had a single. I did a song with, me and Snoop did a song called Bang This. That's going to be on my record now that they were going to push, but then for some silly reason, they backed out on it. They got scared. There was a lot of things going on there. I mean, I got the deal from messing with Warren G at the time, and you know, once his record came out, it didn't do too much big of an impact, and they got totally scared on the whole West Coast thing right there.
Oh, okay, so, you're talking about the Return of the Regulator record?
Yeah, and everybody was on that record. I mean, he had Dre, Snoop, Nate, me, Dub C, I mean, the list goes on and on, Stevie Wonder, and then once that record pretty much tanked, then it put a little damper on me, because they was like, oh my God, maybe the West Coast ain't where it's at.
Right.
So they put me on hold for a minute. So then after I got tired of being hold, I asked to be released so I can go and do my own thing. And it was a good thing that I did that, because this deal that I got now just gives me a chance to make way more money than I ever would have thought of making with them.
Okay.
So at the end of the day, I guess you could say that God works in mysterious ways.
Do you still keep in touch with Warren G?
Yeah. I still talk to Warren all the time. Everybody's still cool. Me, Warren, Snoop, Nate, Daz, Corrupt, the whole crew from, you know, Long Beach, we all still down.
Okay, and you know, you're the cousin of Nate Dogg, and how close were you coming up, and how did that affect your life, or your career?
Well, me and Nate, we've been singing together since day one. You know, we all started out singing in the church, and the dream of ours, you know, we used to always say we was going to come up and just get in this game and just be doing music. And once he stepped in, he brought me along with him on his G-Funk Classics Volume 1 and Volume 2 album. I got like 3 songs on there with him, a couple of classic ones, like one called Scared of Love and I Don't Want to Hurt No More Going Down Tonight. So we put that record together and then, you know, did our thing, and then the musical differences started to take place, you know, because I wanted to do my thing and he was doing his thing. So then once I branched off and said I'm going on my own, I started putting music out there, you know, just on the underground, on the streets. And I got connected with a DJ by the name of Kevin Slow Jammin' James, who had a station out here, 100.3 The Beat, and he was playing slow jams, and he liked this slow groove that I had called You Tonight, and he started playing that like every weekend, just for like 3 or 4 months. And then we got Snoop heard it, and Snoop called him up and told him to get him in contact with me. And from there I talked to Snoop, and he informed me that he was working on a record called the East Sider album, and that they needed my vocals. So when I got down there, we started doing a bunch of songs. The rest was magic, because we put together a hot record that sold over 1 million copies. And I'm sure you remember that record, the East Side
of
Record.
Of course I remember that.
And we dropped the first single called G'd Up. And
yeah, I know. I know all that.
After that, it just took off.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, my personal favorite is from the second record, you know, Cool, the song Cool.
Oh, yeah, that was supposed to be a single, but that got mixed up, so I don't know what, but that was the hottest record on that song.
Yeah, I know, that shit still is the dopest song to blaze and chill to.
Oh, man, Cool was crazy, so.
Yeah, the whole thing, it was, I don't know, the whole hook, and, you know, the way Trey D start off his verse.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a crazy song. And you know, for a few years, you were a strong part of the Doghouse Records. You know, shining on all the records and everything. What's your current relationship with all them like? Well, what happened? We haven't seen you working together with Snoop and the DPG like that anymore. But you just said everything's cool, right?
Everything's cool. You know, it's just the way that I am. I mean, I'm a man and I make decisions for my family. I mean, once I could decide, you know, when I was with Snoop Dogg, I was like, you know, he put me out on G-Dub, and then his solo record came out, and we did
Lay Low,
and then we did Losing Control, and then after that, I pretty much thought that it would be my time to, you know, do my record, and after that, he chose to put out, you know, the Doggy's Angels, which I thought was a terrible mistake, because nobody had even heard anything about the Doggy's Angels, so why would they be the first ones to come out? I mean, we hadn't gave him no promotion, and it was just nothing. I mean, I was the one that was out there, really, with him, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
From a smart businessman, if I'm gonna be a businessman and I feature artists on my tracks, like an artist that's up and coming, and I put him on Lay Low, and I put him on a Losing Control, and I put him on, just being smart, I would put his record out next, because this is the guy that I gave the exposure to. Why would I take a group that I gave no exposure to and put them out next? It just made no sense. So once that happened, I was like, okay, well, if it's still not my time yet, I guess this ain't the camp for me to be in. I got to go trying to find me a deal and get a situation going for myself. So that's what I did. And it was a little, you know, that was tensed up at first, but, you know, he got over it because he knew what I did was right. That's why he came down and got on my record with me, because he knew there was no need to be upset. So we got together and we did a track called Bang This. And recently I've been working with Snoop for, I did a couple of songs with him, and he'll be on my record that comes out. So it's no beef there at all.
Okay, and you just told me that you hooked up with Snoop through the whole radio thing, right? So it wasn't even through the Nate Dogg connection.
No, but I always knew him, though. But see, you know, they thought once I had stopped fooling with Nate, it was pretty much, you know, I was just quitting until they just heard me out there still mashing. So then he heard, and he was like, oh, I got to give him a call. I see he's still trying to keep it going, because I never stopped. Because I got into, when I first, I mean, I always wanted to do music before I knew anybody. So I don't feel that I would need anybody, you know, just to push me for my career. You know what I'm saying? If people don't want to be down with what I'm doing, at the end of the day, I still got to feed my family. So I'm going to do music whether I'm with you or without you.
Right. When did you realize the talents you had and that you wanted to, you know, do this music thing for a living?
I had to be. It was a while back. I've been knew I wanted to do it because, like I said, we was real young when I first started. Me and Nate had a little group together when I first started singing with him. I mean, neither one of us even had met Snoop them yet. I had to be like 9 or 10 years old when we first started writing songs. So it's just been, we used to sing together in the church, so we always knew that we would do it. But once you get out there in the game, and then you know the competition thing, and everybody start just, you know, getting upset, and the music just disturbs and just tears everybody up. That's why half the groups out here now don't stay together, because we just can't. I don't know what it is about us black folks. For some reason, once the money gets involved, everybody just falls apart. But it seems like when we broke, we just the happiest people around. But once you throw some money up in the mix of us, then it's just all twisted. Then everybody start getting mad at each other. The main thing is everybody just want to be the boss, should I say. And if you have a man in your camp that want to, you know, do his own thing, then it just turns into a problem. It's just like if you look at it, you know, Snoop and Dre ain't together nowhere. You got Outkast about to break up. You got the West Side Connection done broke up. Then you just got the list goes on and on. It's just turmoil on everybody's camp. People, Jay-Z and what's his name done broke up. It's just like you can just see that it just don't work out. For some strange reason, everybody just decides to split up.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just getting confused
you know, although Nate Dogg was like the hook singer, you know, the most wanted hook singer for a few years, and he was all over the radio and everything, he never really managed to have that success on a solo tip. Do you think that the whole curse of, you know, the hook master who can't have no success on his own might hurt you as well?
No, because what it boils down to is it boils down to the type of songs that you put out. You know what I'm saying? When you're doing your solo thing, I believe what really happened is, you know, it's kind of hard when you just concentrate all the time on just doing hooks. And then when you turn around and have to do a whole song, that's when the problems start to kick in, you know, because you're really not used to doing whole songs. You just always used to having a piece, and when you're out there on your own, then it's time to really show and prove what you got. That's why when I put my record out, I don't want that many features on it, because I feel that people have heard me enough over the past 5-6 years singing with people and spotting in little parts here and there. Now it's time to show them what I really can do. So you throw a couple of features on there, you know, but the whole record is mainly about you. I mean, if they want to get a compilation record from you, they can just listen to all the stuff that you did before. So you have to really do your homework. When it's time to do your record, you have to do your homework. You got to listen to all the old school cats and find out how to do a record so you can do it right and present it to the people the way that you want to present it. Other than that, you're going to run into problems if you really haven't, you know, like been singing songs by yourself. And then you run into the thing where people just say, well, he's just a hook singer, and that's what he needs to stick to doing, because he can't deliver a whole song. And see, I don't have time to run into that shit. If anything, the thing that happened to him taught me and showed me what not to do. And then I can deliver what I'm supposed to do.
Okay. So you about to do that in 2007?
I'm about to do that in 2007.
Okay. Before we wrap this up, man, go ahead and promote the Back Before Your Lonely record again, and, you know, let everybody know to look out for it and everything else you want to say.
Well, I just want everybody to know that Butch Cassidy and DeMiz is coming out with a new record called Back Before Your Lonely, and it's full of banging beats and hot hooks and silky deliveries, and everybody just be prepared for that. You won't be disappointed. It's just 2007. It's going to bring a lot of new things and a lot of good stuff to come, so just be prepared for that record. And it's just going to be ridiculous. So be looking for us. And 2007 is pretty much ours. We're just going to take it over and just bring the music. See, I don't even want to keep talking about it. I just want people to hear the music, and then they'll believe. But on another note,
go ahead.
The curse of what you said about what happened to Nate Dogg, no, that's not going to happen to me.
Okay. Well, I wish you the best of luck, because we. You know, we've been waiting for you to come out. We've been waiting for you to come out with a record. Even if it flop, at least put it out.
Yeah. You got to put it out because people want to hear what you're saying. But if I put it out independent, you know, it's going to be cool. Because when I put it out there, the format is set up perfect. What you do when you get ready to put out a record is you put out a record like this doodle record, a warm-up. And either people don't like it or not, at least they back talking about you. You know what I'm saying? They know you put something on the streets, and then there's a little buzz going on about you. Then you turn around and drop your single and put something out. See, that's the way you put a record out. See, I've been, you know, people, I've been on the G-Unit records and all that stuff that came out in 2004 and 2005, but it's been like a year since people really heard. And by the way, I got something coming out with D12, too. Throw that in there. But I've been on all them little records and stuff, but people have been waiting. So I'd be a fool just to drop my solo album, like, boom, here's a single, and then just drop the record. Mm-mm. You put out a warm-up first, like this record, with some bangers on it. Get everybody back to talking about you. Then you drop your single, and then you'll have success. It's just a format that you use. If you notice, before Snoop Dogg puts out all his records, it's always something that comes out first. Like, he'll put out the 213 record with his group, then he'll drop it like it's hot. Then he'll put out the Dog Pound record with Cali is active, then he'll drop his Vato Loco song. You see the format?
Yep.
It's always something that comes before he drops his record. So I used that and learned from it. So now I'm going to do this duo record, get everybody fired up and talking about us, and then I'll drop my solo record and knock their heads off.
That's what's up.
2007.
Oh, you should hook back up with DJ Quick on that, because that track you had with him, I think it was called So Cold. That's probably the dopest song I heard you on, except for the East Side of Shit.
So Cold?
Yeah, you know that song?
Yeah, I know that. That's my song. I know it.
Yeah, I know. A lot of times people be forgetting their songs.
Oh, no, I ain't forgot. That's So Cold. Yeah, that's a hot record. That's going on my album.
Oh, that's going to be on there?
Definitely.
Also, you ain't letting the songs from a few years ago that, you know, went under the radar just slip off. You're putting them back on there?
No, nothing's old that you haven't put out. It might be old to you, but if you haven't put it out there for the fans to hear, it's still brand new. I mean, I got songs in my car that I played that I did 5 years ago, and if I play it to you, you never heard it. It's fresh shit to you.
Definitely.
See what I'm talking about? So you can't just throw no songs away, because you never know what you're throwing away.
Shit, a lot of people do that, man.
When they're foolish. The only thing that you can, if it really sounds old and dated and you can tell, just put a remix on it. Get a new producer to do it over and just put the song out.
Shit, it's people trying to break into Dre's house to steal all the shit that he ain't never put out.
That's what I'm talking about. You never know what you got, man, because like I say, you don't never know what people are going to like. Like, I got songs on records, man, that I'll just be like, oh, that's cool. And then you'll play it for somebody, and they'll tell you, that's the first single. What you talking about, cool? And then the one that you think is just fire, they don't even like it. They bypass that.
Yep, I feel you, man.
You know, like I said, just 2007 is on it. Let everybody know, but I'm gonna try to get you a song.
Yeah, go ahead.
A solo one of mine called Back Before You're Lonely, Once Lovers.